day is about a woman that came into the house of the Pharisee in the city either of Nain or Capernaum. Last week, I ended up speaking about John being in prison and sending messengers to Christ with the question, "Art thou he that is to come, or look we for another?" Those of you that were here remember me speaking to some of God's children who were in prison and who likewise felt like John felt, that if they were children of God, wouldn't Christ pay them a visit? As he did not visit John in the prison, so many of God's children are in prison and have no visits from Christ. But as he sent messengers to Christ, so such souls send messengers also to Christ. They send up their prayers and entreat him that he would make known unto them that he is their Christ, their Savior, their Redeemer. And when these messengers came to Christ, they said, "John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, asking whether thou art he that should come, or should we look for another?" Christ, he did not answer these messengers with that answer to say, "I am the Christ, I am he, you have not to look for another," but at that moment he was performing many miracles. And he was delivering those that were blind from their blindness. He was healing those that had leprosy. He was curing many from their infirmities. And he was preaching the gospel to the poor. He gave unto them an ocular demonstration that he was the Messiah, the Christ, the one who was to come. For there was no other that ever had done these things which they seen being performed before their eyes. And therefore he said unto them, "Return to John and tell them what things ye see, how that the blind see, and how that the lame walk, and how that the lepers are cleansed, and how that the gospel is preached to the poor. And whosoever is not offended in me, he shall be blessed." These messengers, we read no more of them. We do not read that they returned to John and spake unto him concerning what Christ had commanded them, but we believe that they truly returned to John, and that John was very much comforted, very much encouraged by the message that Christ sent to him. But Christ, he begins to speak to the people that were round about him, about John. He speaks in praise of this forerunner who had been sent before him. For he said unto these people, "What went ye out to see? A reed shaken with the wind. What went ye out to see? A prophet? Nay, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For all that have been born of women are nothing compared to John the Baptist. He is greater than all the prophets that have been. And he that is in the kingdom of God is greater than he." He speaks then of John the Baptist as a reed shaken by the wind. He spoke to these Jews. "Did you find that in John, that he was unstable, that his mind was not set, and that he thought one thing one day and spake another thing the next day?" John was not that type of a messenger of God. He was a firm and an upright and a sincere preacher. He speaks well then of John, that John the Baptist, who was that person that had been prophesied of, the messenger that would go before his face and who would prepare the way before him. He spake of John being as greater than all the prophets. All the prophets had testified that Christ would come, but John, he came just before Christ. And he pointed out to the people who Christ was, spake of him as the Lamb of God, spake unto the people, directing them that they likewise would be baptized by the Holy Ghost and with fire by Christ himself, who was there personally before them. In this way, John was much greater than all the prophets that had been before him. And we find likewise that Christ speaks unto these people and says unto them, what shall I compare this generation with? They are like children in the market, speaking unto their fellows and saying unto them, we have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned and ye have not wept. John the Baptist is come, not eating or drinking, and ye say he hath a devil. The Son of Man is come, and ye say he was eating and drinking. Behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. In this Christ speaking about these children, piping to each other, and mourning to each other, he gives a comparison of children playing in the streets. How that children, they are very fond of picking up things that they see and acting as grown-ups do. These children, they piped and danced. In this, they were playing that a wedding was taking place. At a wedding, usually there is music and there is dancing. And then again, they were playing as if there was a funeral. They copied these things from things that they saw in life. And they would act as if they were at a funeral. They would mourn. And then they would speak to each other, these children, concerning some of them that would not play along with them. We have piped unto you and ye would not dance. We have mourned and ye have not wept. Christ compares these people, the Jewish people, like unto these children. John had come unto them and he had piped unto them. He had preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is nigh to come. He had went out from the wilderness and spoken unto these Jews and taught them that Christ the Savior was to come and that they should flee from unrighteousness. But they had not listened to him. They had turned a deaf ear, many of them, to him. Some of them had come and some had been baptized. And these they justified what Christ spake about. But others, they said, John had a devil. And Jesus Christ himself came unto these people in person. And he likewise spake, repent, turn ye, every one of you, from your sins. But they had not listened to him likewise. My hearers, are these people, the Jews, are they any different than you and I? Has not God sent unto us his servants, and have they not piped unto us? Have they not played exceedingly well on the instrument of the gospel? Have they not spoken to us in the name of the Lord? Have they not said unto us, repent, turn ye, wherefore would ye die? And how have we received these messages? Has not Christ himself come in our midst with his gospel? Has he not spoken to us that for the greatest for the vilest, for the blackest of sinners, there is forgiveness. Have not these servants of Christ stood before us many times, weeping, pleading with us? And what have we done with the message, my hearers? What has taken place? Have you heard it to your prophet? Have you turned the message to a prayer? Have you come and said, Lord, I have heard this day that you are a gracious Savior? Oh, you have spoken through the medium of your servant to me, and I hear that you will turn no sinner away that comes to you. Lord Jesus, I come to you, such a sinner like me. Oh, receive me, Lord, pardon my sins. Has it worked that in your heart? Has it brought you to Jesus? What a blessing, my hearers. But I'm afraid that for the more part, it has not taken any effect. Just like it did by the Jewish people, it left them where they were in their sins. And my hearers, we read next that there was a Pharisee who invited Jesus to his house to eat with him. The Pharisees of Judah and of Jerusalem, they hated Christ. They were seeking to take his life. And if possible, they would have taken it. But the Pharisees that were in Capernaum, they despised him. They rejected him. They did not receive him as the Messiah, but they did not go around seeking to kill him. We have here an instance of a Pharisee inviting him to his house. The publicans, they used to take their friends and have feasts together and invite many of them to come. Likewise, these Pharisees. And now, this Pharisee makes an exception. He invites Christ. He did this so that he would get a good name, so that the people would say, what a liberal man he is. What a kind man he is. Look, he even invites Christ to come. These Pharisees, they had a certain form that they used when they had a feast. Most of the people in the East, when they call their friends together to have a feast, they would go through a various method of procedure. These people, they had at the door of their house water pots, and they filled these pots with water. And now when a guest came, the first thing that the person who invited the guest would do would see that the servant would wash the feet of this guest that entered in. You know, in the East, they wore sandals. They didn't wear any stockings or any socks like we do. They wore open sandals. And in this burning, hot climate, the sand sticking to their feet were very uncomfortable. They burned considerable, and the sand rubbed them and made them very painful. So you can understand why that they had pots of water at the door of the place where there was going to be a banquet or a feast. It was very refreshing to have your feet washed. After this, the host that invited the people to come, he would greet the guest and kiss him. And then they would rub some ointment on the feet so that this burning sensation on the feet would be taken away. By the rich, they would pour some perfume upon the head of such a person to kill the stench of perspiration that these people had upon them, for it was very hot, and they perspired exceedingly. These things were done to people that entered into houses where there was going to be a feast. We have here this Simon the Pharisee inviting a multitude of Pharisees and also Christ to this feast. We see the first guest entering the house. Simon greets him, kisses him, the servant washes his feet, he puts a little ointment on his feet, and so one after another, the guests all assemble in this house of the Pharisee. But there enters one. Simon doesn't go to greet him. Simon doesn't kiss him. His feet isn't washed. Who's that person? Oh, that's only Jesus. Simon thought in himself, you ought to be glad I invited him. You ought to be glad he can sit down and eat with us. He was not treated as the other guests were. He received no kiss. He received no foot washing. He received no ointment. Did Christ take it to heart? Did Christ show any resentment? He was a human being just as you and I were. Was this the proper treatment? No. But Christ showed no animosity whatsoever. He was at all times the meek and lowly Jesus. He sat down at the place that Simon placed him at. When they sat down to have a feast, my hearers, it's not like when we sit down. We sit down on chairs, and our feet are usually under the table. But they sat down on long couches, and they were low. And as they sat, they usually pushed their feet underneath the couch, and they stuck out from the back. This way, they sat more comfortable, it seems. And now when Jesus entered into this house and sat down to have meat, there followed him into this house a woman, which was a sinner. She was of this very city where this Pharisee lived. Now I said at the beginning, whether it was in Nain or whether it was in Capernaum, the commentators are not certain about it. Last week, our story was about the young man that was raised up from the dead. He came out of the city of Nain. This chapter is still speaking about Christ and does not say whether he returned to Capernaum or whether it was in this very city of Nain. But we find that this woman, she was a character that everyone in the city knew. She lived a very wicked and a sinful life. She was a harlot. Some think that this was Mary Magdalene. But there is no account whatsoever of her being Mary Magdalene. Of Mary Magdalene, we read that the Lord cast out seven devils. But of this woman, we do not have an account thereof. Now, this woman was a heathen. She was a notorious character. She was a sinner. Let me ask you a question. You think she was any worse than you? I agree. She might have been in an outward life. She might have been given over to the lusts and to the passions and to the corruptions of her nature. And she lived this outwardly. But let me ask you, does not them things dwell in your heart just as well as they were in hers? Was she a greater sinner than you in the sight of God? Are we not all sinners, my hearers? Are we not born in sin, conceived in iniquity? Our very being is sin. From the crown of our head to the footsole of our feet, we are but a mass of sin. This woman was a sinner. Let me say this. She was a sinner in practice. She was a sinner in life. She was an abandoned sinner. But she also was a sinner in the sight of God. Who made her such? Commentary says that by the preaching of Christ, she had become converted. She had been convicted of her sins, and she felt her need of a Savior, of Jesus Christ. And when she knew that he was in the house of the Pharisee, she entered into that house, and she stood at his feet, weeping. She just rained down tears from her eyes upon the feet of Jesus. And as these tears fell upon his feet, she bent down. And with her disheveled hair, she began to rub it dry, to wash it off. And as she was doing that, she kissed his feet so affectionately. And she had brought with her an alabaster box of ointment, which was of a costly price. This ointment probably she had used for other purposes at other times, but now she brought it with her into this house, and she anointed the feet of Christ as if to say, this is the Messiah. And my hearers, she stood then and she bowed down at the feet of Jesus. What brought her there? My hearers, faith brought her to the feet of Christ. It was the Spirit of God that had convicted her of her sins. And she had nothing to say. We do not read that she said one word, not a word. She just stood there and wept. Let me ask you, have you ever come to the feet of Jesus? Have you ever wept, my hearers? I wouldn't lay too much stress upon tears. I have them plenty myself. It isn't our tears that are signs of grace. It's the heart that God looks at. That's the citadel where he enters in. That's the castle that he takes in. But here we have a woman weeping at the feet of Jesus. What a blessed place to be, my hearers. I wonder how many of my hearers have been brought by the Spirit of God to the feet of Jesus. Oh, I thought when I read that, the woman didn't have nothing to say. She was mute. She was so filled with a sense of her sinnership and with the knowledge of him that was sitting in the front of her, that she had nothing to say. Have you ever been there? Have you ever laid at the feet of Christ feeling that you were the worst, the vilest, the blackest, that there wasn't a greater sinner in the world than you, and that he was such a wonderful person, so that he only could save you and deliver you, and that you had nothing to say? Or you just waited to see what he would say. Or you wondered how the matter would go, whether he would pardon you or whether he would say, go away. Oh, my hearers, I wish every one of you would come to that place. Oh, there isn't a more blessed place to be than at the feet of Jesus. And my hearers, when this was taking place, this Pharisee, Simon, he seen this woman touching Christ. He's seen this woman washing his feet and kissing him. And he says in himself, he looks at her with such a face filled with indignation and scorn. If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of a woman that is that touches him, for she is a sinner. Oh, my hearers, Simon, he did not know himself. Oh, if he knew anything about being a sinner, he wouldn't have looked with scorn at her. He wouldn't have said those things in his heart. You know, my hearers, we're not any different. I wonder if you know that you've got a Pharisee like that in your heart. You know, because we go to church, because we live a little different life, because we pray, we look down on other people that don't do those things. Those people that live the way they want. They don't come to church. They don't pay no attention to God or to His Word. They don't pray. And then we have in us those thoughts. We ought to be rewarded for what we're doing. Look, we're not like them people. We live altogether different. Shouldn't God reward us? Let me tell you, my hearers, that's Phariseeism. That's thinking that for what we do, we should be paid. Simon, he looked with scorn on that woman. Oh, if the Lord knew that she was such a woman. If he was a prophet, he surely would know. Yes, this great prophet did know. He knew what this Simon even was thinking and saying in his heart. And he knew likewise this woman that was at his feet. Ah, she was a vessel of mercy. She was a chosen, elect sinner from all eternity. And she was the object of God's love. For love and faith brought her to the feet of Christ. But that is where God brings sinners. Has he brought you there? If not, may he do so yet, while you are yet in the land of the living. My ear is this Simon. He was spoken to by Christ. He hadn't said a word, but he was speaking to himself. And now Christ answers him just like if Christ knew what he was saying. He said, Simon, I have something to say to you. He says, Master, say on. He says, there was a creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 pence, and the other owed him 50 pence. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Who do you think loved him the most? He says to Simon. Well, says Simon, I think the one that he forgave the most. You have judged right, the Lord says unto Simon. Now, my hearers, by this creditor, we may understand God the Father. And by these two debtors, one a 500 pence debtor and another one a 50, we may take this woman in her life, in her sin, as a 500 pence debtor. And we'll take Simon as a 50 pence debtor. He lived a moral and a consistent life. He was a Pharisee. He was a pious individual. Nobody could put a finger on him that he sinned outwardly. So that they lived, these Pharisees. And now, the Lord is going to teach this Simon a lesson. Here was two debtors. Neither one of them had anything to pay. And the creditor, he forgave them both. What are we to understand by that? May I ask you a question? What kind of a debtor are you? Are you a 50 pence debtor? Or are you a 500 pence debtor like this woman? We're all in debt to God. Every one of us. And now, of course, we have nothing to pay. But how many of us know that? How many have been taught by the Spirit of God that they have nothing to pay? Oh, you know, my ears, it takes a long time sometimes before a person's brought to that place when he ain't got nothing to pay. Oh, we all got something to pay. We're just like Pharisees. Our prayers, our tears, our going to church, our giving alms, our doing things. We all think that they should be received by God and they should be rewarded. And you know, my hearers, when the Spirit of God takes a person in hand and begins to strip that person, well, then that person comes to the place where this woman came to. I just said to you that she said not a word. Why? Why was she was the guiltiest and the filthiest and the greatest of sinners? I wonder how many of my hearers feel themselves to be such. Oh, what a blessing it would be if we felt that we were a 500 pence debtor in the sight of God and that we had nothing to pay. Oh, that we were lost, ruined, and undone, and that we had to be saved by grace and by grace only. Let me say this. When you come to that spot, when you haven't got anything more to pay, and you'll find that God will frankly forgive you. And for whose sake? For the sake of Jesus Christ. For the blood of this precious Savior. Only for that does he forgive sinners. Not for anything that's in you or I. Oh, no. Oh, what a wonderful thing this is, my hearers. To experience and he frankly forgave them both. And the Lord spoke unto Simon and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? When I came into your house, you didn't wash my feet, but this woman, she's done nothing else but wash my feet with her tears. You gave me no kiss when I entered into your house, but she has done nothing else but kiss my feet since she has entered in here. And you gave me no ointment upon my head, the Lord says, but she has done nothing else but anoint my feet with ointment. And where now her sins are so many, they are forgiven her. This he speaks to Simon. For she loveth much. But he that loveth little is only forgiven little. The Lord makes then a distinction that a person who is a 500 pence debtor, he or she loves very much when they are forgiven. My hearers, I do believe that every child of God, whoever experiences that God forgives his sins for Jesus' sake, will most assuredly love Jesus. It cannot be otherwise. But here we have the Lord making a distinction himself, explaining this to Simon and saying to Simon that her sins were forgiven. Let me ask you a question. If the Lord told me that he forgave you and you and you your sins, would you be satisfied? I'm sure if you're a seeking child of God, and you haven't received yet the pardon of your sins, that that wouldn't be sufficient for you. It wasn't sufficient for this woman. I'm sure of that. The Lord knew that. He spake to Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven her. But then he turned to this woman and said unto her, thy sins are forgiven thee. Oh, what a wonder that must have been. In the first place already to hear him say to Simon, her sins, which are many, were forgiven her. But what a greater wonder it was for him to turn to her and say, thy sins are forgiven thee. My hearer, are you seeking to have the forgiveness of your sins? Wouldn't you like to have Christ speak to you like he spake to this woman, thy sins are forgiven thee? What brought this woman into the foot of Christ? It was love and faith mixed together. Because she loveth much. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to find the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts. Oh, every penitent sinner loves Jesus Christ and longs to have pardon sealed home to its soul. This woman experienced this in the house of a Pharisee. That's the most unlikely place that we would enter into to find Jesus. But let me say that if you are burdened with your sins, that you are seeking pardon, that it wouldn't make where that you may find Jesus, even in the house of a Pharisee, that you would lay at his feet and you would implore him to speak to your heart that your sins might be forgiven you. My hearers, the Lord spoke again to the woman and said, woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. You see, the Lord put the crowning point upon the faith that was in the heart of this woman. It was by faith that she came to him. It was by faith that she lay at his feet. And it was by faith that she remained there until her sins were pardoned. In this, my hearers, what a great comfort it is for the greatest of sinners in our midst, for that Jesus receives sinners. I can't get over it, my hearers. You know, we can't understand the wonderful grace of God towards sinners. It's incomprehensible. You and I, we should think, and we do think, that Christ should come in our midst and should save us. We come under the word. We pray every Sunday that he would save us. And how many years has he passed you by? And sometimes he picks up what? He picks up a harlot. He picks up a thief. He picks up a creature that's so abandoned in sin that you and I wouldn't have anything to do with. And the Lord raises such up as monuments of his sovereign grace and mercy. Oh, it is true. He does come in the places of worship. He does come amongst those where his people are gathered. And he does visit and speak to those that are wounded, those that are cast down, those that are oppressed and burdened and filled with grief and sorrow that they have sinned against God. To them, he makes the ministry of his word a comfort for their souls. Oh, we cannot understand God in the various ways that he gathers his elect in. All that he would in our midst, reveal that there are many yet that must be gathered in. This woman was freely pardoned, without any money, without any price. She had nothing to do. Oh, this should be such an encouragement for every one of us. Oh, no matter how great and how black and how many your sins may be, here we have an emblem for that Jesus freely forgives sins, and that graciously for his namesake. My time is gone, my hearers. Next week, the Lord willing, we will continue with the next lesson. That's all for today.